A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, wrapping the show up. And we've got so many things that we are just kind of waiting for, you know. So the Big 12, of course, today saying they're going to wait it out just a little bit longer. They're just going to make you feel, Scott, for just a couple more days that things could. They're just going to keep the dream alive for you in your head. Just so you have a good weekend. Roll it out on a Monday morning so that I can at least enjoy the weekend. That's what I want from all these conferences. Just give me this weekend to think that the season's
going to go. That's a bad idea. I mean, don't know that's a bad idea by the Pac-12.
I know.
That's I really, just give or the Big 12. Sorry.
Give us a few days.
Things change so fast, Alex. I mean, there's always this wait till tomorrow kind of Utah weather thing, you know, and so I don't know that waiting a couple of weeks, maybe even waiting a month, isn't such a bad idea.
It's like this weird, like having the biggest number of cases, confirmed cases in the state. We set another record today with over 867. It combined that with how it really is like a perception thing. Even if we don't know how bad it's going to be for us or how bad it's going to be, so many experts are saying, don't even do this football season. Why are you talking about having football? I saw Paul Feinbaum today said, I haven't seen one good reason, one justifiable reason why this season should go on. Not that the season should not go on, one justifiable reason that it should go on. And, you know,
Alex,
there are a gajillion reasons why it should go on in my mind, but it's about trying to figure out a way for it to happen and do it safely, not the other way around of just don't do it and there's nothing worth, you know, doing the season for. I think that it's totally worth doing. Just don't have any fans at it. Come on.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't know that there's ever a justifiable reason to have college football. It's a leisure thing. It's one of those added bonuses in our life. But it's one of those things that we really enjoy. We like to have it in our life.
And it's so, not, and it's become an industry, so it creates jobs. It has money involved in it. It has all of our, there is definitely kind of that life happiness score for me is up when college football season is there. I mean, there's a definite, like, my life has improved markedly, not just because it's tied to my job. I'm lucky that it's tied to my job, but when I was a kid, this is what I lived for. You know what I mean?
They actually did studies on this and found that colleges that didn't have football programs didn't have a heart. So there is this there's this emotional side to it that's real, and it's tied to our psyche and our well-being, and it has a sense of belonging. It's a thing that draws us and brings us together with our schools, regardless of how good or how bad our program is. We have our team, and that's a good thing for our emotional well-being, and that's something I think, if anything, we need right now is some emotional well-being in the crazy world that we're living in.
College football is my emotional support animal. I'm going to take it on the plane. With me. I'm going to take it. Look, so when somebody goes, "You're not allowed to do that," I go, "Oh, I've got a note from a doctor. I got a note from the doctor."
And you've named it Fifi.
Yes, this is my football. This is my football. And they go, "No, you can't have that on the plane." Oh yeah. Look at this. I've got a note right here.
Yes.
Scott, we got the music, of course.
Of course.
And that means that the two-minute drill is upon us, wrapping up our entire week, wrapping up the show. Give us an idea what the two-minute drill is for those who are just tuning in.
All right, what you got to do is you got to finish the game fast because there's not a lot of time, and so you hurry up and you go down the field and score. In our show, we do the same thing. We hurry up and talk a lot about, or we talk a little bit about a lot of things because we don't have a lot of time, and we end the show on a positive note and win the day.
So you remember all the jazz players were complaining about the food,
right?
Disney and the NBA have released a statement clarifying the food policy in Orlando after players shared photos of the food they were being served in the bubble. During the required quarantine period when teams first arrive, meals are delivered directly to hotel rooms. Each of the 22 teams are paired with a Disney culinary team who meets with the NBA team's nutritionists to regularly update menus, blah, blah, blah. After clearing quarantine, players will also have access to various restaurants on campus. There is never a shortage of food options. Players can always request additional food by speaking with their team nutritionist.
That doesn't solve
the fact that the food was garbage, that it wasn't good.
All right. So Joe Ingles, he posts this thing on the food. Have you ever had Vegemite? I mean, the dude is from Australia. You know how disgusting Vegemite is? It's like, come on.
I think
it can't be that bad.
George Nyang asked if Cafe Rio, he tweeted out if Cafe Rio would deliver to Orlando. That's a missed opportunity for Cafe Rio to drop. I mean, it's not a literal bubble. You could probably make a drone delivery in there, I feel like. And that's an opportunity for Cafe Rio. Food in the NBA bubble changes after quarantines are completed. A lot of people very excited about it. And so Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and George Niang started all this thing out. Jordan Clarkson got involved in it. So many players started throwing all these different things around the with the pictures. Then the other NBA players started feeling more comfortable sharing how bad their food looked as well. So at the very least, it looked like kind of bad airplane food. You know what I mean? Like,
I like airplane food.
I've had good.
I'm an airplane food liker.
You like that mini roll that they give you?
I like the little you'd roll back the tinfoil on the old dinners. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Get some Salisbury steak or something. Yummy.
I love all that. All right, Scotty, here's what else we have here. Noah Lyles, I don't know if you know this, he's one of USA's like brightest sprinting prospects. He was at an event, the 2020 Inspiration Games. This is a qualifier normally for the Olympics, and they're still holding this event. And he is one of our best 200-meter sprinters. Finishes the 200-meter sprint with a time of 18.90 for the 200 meters. That's not just a world record. That's beating Usain Bolt's world record of 19.19, of 19 seconds, 0.19. He ran an 18.90.
He was cooking.
Problem was, he ran 185 yards.
What?
Yes. Organizers of the event said, we're so sorry. If he had started his... Because they stopped the timing at for the... So the lane number one, if he would have ran in lane number one, it would have been a full 200 meters, and he still would have had to have finished that. It was all sorts of messed up. They basically had him short on the track running a shorter event. They said, so one of the tweets that came out was, Noah Lyles started on the opposite side of the track but used the 400-meter line, so he actually crossed the finish line with 15 meters less than the 200 meters. So the organizers who put him at that stripe, he doesn't do it. He doesn't just go over there. The organizers put him on the wrong starting stripe. They started him off for the 400-meter race instead of the 200-meter race, so he ran 15 meters less. Turns out he did not run a world record, and we'll have to wait again to see if he does it. How? First of all, you wouldn't believe it even if you're him, because you never would have run something like that.
Well, it's a screaming time. I mean,
it's 2/10 of a second faster than the world record by the fastest man that's ever lived on the planet, according to what we have seen. So he probably wondered what was wrong, but
could they extrapolate it out?
They did. They made estimates. They can't really do it for like an official time. They said they made an estimate that it would have been about a 20.3. But he also was running into the wind as well. So they marked that down, and he wouldn't have. They weren't favorable conditions to be able to run as anyway.
That's the story of my life, always running into the wind. I'd have been so much faster if I hadn't
close to that world record if it would have if I would have been able to that drag, you know.
It was inside?
Let me see here. The Blue Jays have threatened to fine players $750,000, up to $750,000, and be jailed if they leave their quarantine bubble in Toronto. And my favorite part about this story is that a guy named Scott Mitchell tweeted this story out.
What?
Scott Mitchell from TSN up in, it's basically Canada's ESPN.
Right.
This guy, you're way better looking than this cat, though, I'll tell you.
Good to know.
Absolutely. But Scott Mitchell tweeting out that if you leave the bubble, you'll be fined $750,000 and face potential jail time. Could you imagine your team having that as a threat? Not just like being overweight, and so you're going to have to pay a fine. You're going to go to jail if you show up at training camp overweight.
I got to tell you, it's not only just in baseball bubbles, but they're finding people if not wearing masks.
Oh,
some of these cities, it's like a serious fine to not have your mask on or not be quarantined. You know, again, we're in these crazy times, and people are doing crazy things, and we don't know if it's good or bad or if it's the right or wrong thing to do, because nobody knows what's going on, and it just gets crazier every day. So not surprised by it.
That's true. We're taking the break here for the weekend. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. Thanks for being with us. Scott, hang in there, buddy, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, be good.
Taking the break. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you next time, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.